The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on November 13th, 2010, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight is a special, it's not a lecture, it's a question and answer session. So that means since there's no lecture topic, that means you can ask questions on anything related with Krishna consciousness. It's a wide open forum. So take advantage of it. Any question related to Krishna consciousness is welcome. Most of the devotees do not. Well, there's a saying in English called getting up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning. If your day gets off to a bad start, it throws the whole day off.
Un atbilde ir tāds teiciens, ka to izkāpt no gultas ar nepareizo kāju, ja tu izkāpt nepareizo kāju, ja nepareizās puses no gultas, tad visa diena tiek sabojāta.
Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, who wrote the Gravastakam prayers.
Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, kurš uzrakstīja Gravastakam lūkšanas.
He says that anyone who will sing these prayers in the Brahma Muhurta hours.
Ka ik viens, kurš atkārtos šīs lūkšanas Brahma Muhurta laikā,
will achieve the direct service of Lord Sri Krishna upon leaving his body. Direct service of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. In other words, Mangal Arti, attending Mangal Arti is your ticket to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, if you're not interested in going to Goloka Vrindavan, you don't mind taking birth again.
If you're not interested
in Goloka Vrindavan, if you don't mind taking birth again in the material world, you don't need to follow any regulative principles. You don't need to chant, you don't need to come to the Mangal Arti, you can do whatever you want. You don't mind being a dog on your next birth, I mean, you can do whatever you want. But if you're serious about becoming a pure devotee in this lifetime, Prabhupada established that Mangal Arti is compulsory. This means, at least in terms of my disciples, those who were living in the temple should all come to Mangal Arti at the temple. And those at home should also, you could even sing them in 5 minutes if you could offer a due party and sing the Gavastakam prayers in 5 minutes. No, nobody can tell me they don't have 5 minutes to spare. So my advice for all the devotees in all of ISKCON is to follow Prabhupada's standard and sing the Gravastakam prayers during Brahma Muhurta every day. Every devotee in all of ISKCON, in the temple or at home, it doesn't matter, should all sing Gravastakam prayers.
Mans ieteikums ir pilnīgi visam izkonam un visiem baktām, neatkarīgi no tā, vai viņi dzīvo templī vai mājās, katru dienu no rīta atkārtot Gravastakam lūkšanas.
In the old days, everyone observed Mangal Arti.
Agrāk, pilnīgi katrs ievēroja Mangal Arti.
I was with a group of 80 devotees flying from America to Mayapur.
Es biju grupā, kur bija 80 baktas, kas lidoja no Amerikas uz Mayapur.
And we arrived in some airport, the Calcutta airport, like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Un mēs ieradāmies Kalkutas lidostā 6 no rīta.
And we sat down in the airport and we had Gravastakam prayers in the airport.
Un un mēs, kur vaštakam lūkšanas, mēs tās veicām tur pat lidostā.
I've ridden with devotees at 4 o'clock in the morning to the airport in what was that city, Berlin, Frankfurt airport.
Es esmu bijis ar vaktām kopā 4 no rīta Frankfurtas lidostā.
And riding in the car, we sang the Rīga Vaštakam prayers on the way to the airport.
Un ceļā uz lidost, mēs iedājām par vaštakam lūkšanas.
So Rīgavastikam prayers are part of our process of Krishna consciousness.
Šīs lūkšanas ir daļa no mūsu Krishna apziņas procesa.
So my advice is that everyone should sing Rīgavastikam prayers.
Mans ieteikums ir visiem vajadzētu iedot par vaštakam.
Any other question? Yeah.
My daughter yesterday approached my wife and asked a question. And my wife couldn't answer. Then my wife asked me, I couldn't answer either.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore I'm asking it, and it's quite a controversial question. Manu meita vakar uzdeva manai sievai jautājumu, es jau nevarēju atbildēt, sieva pajautāja man, es arī nevarēju atbildēt, tāpēc es jautāju Guru Maharajam, tas tāds diezgan diskutējums jautājums. But, my daughter saw here somewhere in the temple a list that where a name or names of devotees who are not allowed to come to the temple were listed, and she asked my wife, what the crime have they committed to not to deserve such punishment? Because some meat eaters and people who are not devotees are allowed to come to the temple. But what a devotee should do to lose this opportunity to come to the temple?
Well, I didn't make the list, so I have no idea why they got blacklisted.
Is there any rules or regulations regarding this issue?
Well, if somebody is offensive towards devotees, they commit aparads towards devotees, whether they're a devotee or a non-devotee, it doesn't matter. That such a person is would cause a great disturbance in the temple.
Ja kāds ir apvainojis, izturās, nav svarīgi, vai viņš ir bakt vai nebakt, ar šādu attieksmi šāds cilvēks rada satraucošu atmosfēru.
So I don't know if it's a good idea to post the names where everybody in the public can see it. It's a little disturbing for, like your daughter was disturbed by it, I understand. I don't know if it's a good policy to post it for everyone to see it.
Es nezinu, vai tā ir pareiz politika izlikt šo vārdu visu apskatēju, jo tas satrauc kādu cilvēku, kā piemēram jūsu meitas prātu šajā gadījumā.
But if someone actually is causing disturbance in the community of devotees, then they would have to be asked not to come.
Bet ja kāds satrauc šeit baktu prātus, to cilvēku prātus, kas nāk uz templi, tad ir pareizs neļaut šādam cilvēkam nākt uz templi.
Anything else?
I would like to ask about the first step to take shelter at the bona fide spiritual master. Mm. If I want to make this step, what exactly should I do?
Chant 16 rounds regularly for at least 6 months.
16 āpļi, vismaz 6 mēnešus pēc kārtas regulāri jāatskārto 16 āpļi katru dienu.
Strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling.
Un jāseko 4 regulējušiem principiem, tātad negaresēšanai, aprīkinošām vielām, azartspēlēm un neatļautām seksuālām attiecībām.
Our system is that one is recommended for initiation by the local temple president. That's Prabhupada's system also.
Mūsu sistēma ir tāda, ka iniciācija rekomendē vietējā tempļa prezidents.
So you should let Rishikesh Prabhu know that you would like to take shelter of the spiritual master, and he can advise you also how you will be recommendable by him.
Jums ir jāvēršās pie tempļa prezidenta Rishikesh Prabhu un jāizsaka šādu vēlmi, ka jūs vēlaties pieņemt patvērumu pie garīgā skolotāja, un tad viņš pateiks, kas ir nepieciešams tam, lai jums būtu kvalificēti tam, ka viņš jūs var rekomendēt.
Are you chanting 16 rounds regularly now? No. Well, that's the first step. Bring your japa up, follow the principles, chant 16 rounds. My disciple Gurudas, he can help you, advise you how to become fixed in chanting 16 rounds and following the principles.
Tātad 16 tapļi un 4 regulējušie principi, tas ir, ko jāsāk.
Rishikesh Prabhu should also be informed that she's moving in that direction, so he can advise her as well. Yeah. And then there should be some kind of a service relationship you have with the temple.
Un ir jābūt noteiktām kalpošanas attiecībām ar templi.
And in this way, by doing some kind of a service, so you're part of the temple.
Tādā veidā, veicot kādu kalpošanu templī, jūs par templi daļu.
Then the spiritual master will be very happy to give you shelter and then initiation.
Un tad garīgais skolotājs būs ļoti priecīgs sniegt jums patvērumu un iesvētīt.
Next question. Yeah.
Skaitā par neatļautām seksuālām attiecībām, bet ir arī vēl tāds iedziens, kā seksuālās attiecības smalkā līmenī. Vai jūs varētu dokumentēt, kā ar tām cīnīties? You mentioned 4 regulative principles and illicit sex as one of them, but then there is such a thing as subtle sexual relationships. How to fight against them?
Subtle means... Someone may not be having actual illicit sex, but they may be sitting there and looking at some woman and lusting over her body, for example.
Smalkās seksuālās attiecības tas nozīmē, ka nav tā fiziskā līmenī šīs attiecības, piemēram, kāds skatās uz sievieti un bauda viņu ar savu skatījumu.
Krishna warns us about this in the Bhagavad Gita.
Un Krishna brīdina mūs par to Bhagavad Gītā.
In chapter 2, texts number 62 and 63. Jayato vishayam pumsam sangateshu bhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate krodat bhavati sangmoha sangmahat smriti vibhrama smriti brangshat bhriti nasho burinashat pranashyati. While contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust comes anger, from anger delusion, delusion bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, bloop, one falls down again into the material pool.
Domājot par jūtekļu priekšmetiem, cilvēks pieķerās tiem. No pieķeršanās rodas iekāri, un no iekāras rodas dusmas. Dusmas rada galīgus maldus, un maldi aptumšo atmiņu. Kad atmiņa ir aptumšota, zūd saprāts, un kad zūd saprāts, tad cilvēks no jauna krīt materiālās pasaules atvarā.
So the point is, you may not grossly be violating the principle, if your mind is contemplating it, that will lead to a gross fall down eventually.
Un tā doma šeit ir tāda, ka pat ja jūs tādā fiziskā līmenī nepārkāpjat šos regulējušos principus, tā iemesla dēļ, ka prāts apcer šos te iekāres objektus, tas neizbēgami ved jūs uz to, ka agri vai vēl jūs pārkāpsiet šos regulējušos principus.
So you have to give your mind a better engagement.
Un tāpēc jums ir jāiesaista savs prāts labākā veidā.
The mind may enjoy contemplating sex.
Jūsu prāts viņam varētu patikt baudīt šo te apcerēt seksuālās attiecības.
But actually, it's a very frustrating meditation.
Un patiesībā tā ir tāda meditācija, kas ir ved uz...
So, it's frustrating meditation. This not satisfying.
Jā, tas tāds graujoši nekāda apmierinājuma tas nedod.
If one's mind is contemplating that, it means he is being attacked by the arrows of Cupid.
Un tad, kad prāts to apcer, tad tas nozīmē, ka Kupidona bultas ir raidītas uz to.
Cupid is shooting his arrows into the heart of that person. Shooting. The lusty person, he's being shot with arrows in the heart by Cupid.
Tad Kupidons šauj bultas uz tā cilvēka sirdi, kurš ir iekāris pilns.
The arrows of lust, or his heart is being filled with arrows of lust. So, that is Cupid. In Sanskrit, he is called Kamadev. Or Madan. So, there is another person. There is Madan or Cupid. There's another person called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. So if Madan or Cupid is having a what we call a field day in English, a field day of your heart with your heart filling it up with arrows. If Madan is filling your heart with arrows, then call Madan Mohan to attract him away from you. My dear Madan Mohan, Madan is now torturing me with arrows. Kindly, you attract him away from me.
Dārgais Madan Mohan, šobrīd Madans spīdzina mani ar savām bultām. Vai tu nevarētu lūdzu viņu aizvilināt projām?
So that Madan Mohan or Krishna, he is very kind. If you call out to him, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, you'll see that Cupid loses interest in you. So every time Cupid attacks, pray to Krishna, oh my dear Lord, please save me from the attack of Cupid. If you'll do this every time, you see the tendency is when lust attacks, we think, well, let me enjoy it a little bit. Let's run a little, run a Hollywood, little Hollywood porno in my brain for a few minutes, you know, for fun. But it's suicidal to do that. It kills your spiritual life.
Yet
no mental porno allowed. You have to call, you just have to say, Krishna, 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 I want you, I don't want porno in the brain. And Krishna is much more beautiful than any naked woman. He's much more attractive, even the most beautiful girl in the whole world. So if you can be attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna, a woman's body will not attract you anymore. Any other questions? Yes.
So we all know that there is a spiritual world. So do we have any experience as the soul to be in a spiritual world? And if it is so, then why it happens that the souls are falling down to the material world? Mēs visi zinām, ka eksistē garīgā pasaule, un vai jebkad dvēselē ir bijusi pieredze atrasties garīgajā pasaulē, un ja ir, tad kāpēc notiek tā, ka dvēsele krīt atpakaļ materiālajā pasaulē?
Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavam ataksarvam pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me.
Es esmu kā materiālās, tā garīgās pasaules savas. Viss tiek izpausts no manis.
So we are part of everything.
Mēs esam daļa no visa.
Shri Shri Ganitai ki jai, Shri Shri Vallamana ki jai. That means that we have emanated from Krishna. That's where we come from. We didn't come from the apes. We came from Krishna. And Krishna is in the spiritual world. Therefore, we must have come from the spiritual world because we came from Krishna who is in the spiritual world. So how did we get here? Krishna gave us love, you see. Krishna is emanating us from himself for the purpose of enjoying a loving relationship with each and every one of us. So love means voluntary. You can't force somebody to love you. So the living entities, in order to love Krishna, must have a choice to love Krishna or to leave Krishna. And if they have that choice, there has to be some possibility that they could misuse that choice. Otherwise, they don't really have the choice. There has to be some possibility, even though it is certainly infinitesimal. There has to be a possibility they would misuse it. And if there's a possibility they would misuse it, then there has to be some degree of mathematical probability as well.
Un, ja ir šāda iespēja izvēlēties, ka nemīlēt Krišnu, tad ir jābūt arī noteiktai iespējamībai, ka tas tā notiek.
If there's no probability, there's no possibility, and then there's no free will, and there's no love.
Jo, ja nav šādas varbūtība, ja šāda varbūtība nepastāv, un ja nepastāv šāda iespēja, tad, un ja nav izvēles brīvība, tad nevar pastāvēt arī mīlestība.
So then, what is the mathematical probability that a living entity could misuse their free will?
Un kāda tad ir matemātiskā varbūtība, ka dzīvā būtne varētu nepareizi izmantot savu brīvo gribu?
It would have to be the smallest possible number.
Tam vajadzētu būt vismazākajam iespējamam skaitlim.
One over infinity.
Viens pret bezgalību.
So if you apply the number of 1 over infinity against the infinite number of living entities who are in the spiritual sky, then you have an infinite number of living entities who fall down into the material existence.
Un matemātiski sanāk tā, ka ja jūs vienu daļu no varbūtības, vienu daļu no bezgalības attiecināt pret bezgalīgu skaitli, tad rezultāts būs bezgalība.
So here we are.
So you said that we have possibilities and that we have the choice.
Absolutely.
So that means that we have a free will.
Exactly.
So, but if there is a choice that say there are only 2 ways for the soul, just to come to the material world or to go to the spiritual world, so that means that there is no freedom.
What is she saying?
She said if there are only 2 choices, it means there's no freedom.
No, because, you have choice.
Because we have to choose, so that means that there is no freedom for us. Because
No.
We have to choose.
Choose means you can, freedom means you can choose this or you can choose that.
Apgalvojums bija tāds, ka ja mums ir tikai divas iespējas, vai nu iet uz materiālo pasauli vai palikt garīgajā pasaulē, tas nozīmē, ka tādā gadījumā mums jau nav nekādas brīvās izvēles.
You are not forced to choose one or the other. You have the free will to choose one or the other.
Jūs neviens brīvā griba nozīmē, ka jūs neviens nepiespiež izvēlēties to vai citu ceļu. Jums ir brīvā griba izvēlēties kādu no šiem te ceļiem.
That's a fact. You have the free will to choose one or the other.
Jums ir brīva izvēle izvēlēties.
How you can say that is not free will?
kā jūs varat teikt, ka tā nav brīva?
You have the free choice, one or the other.
Because there is the choice. Is maybe I
want now you
to
have
stay
choice.
Where I wear. Huh? So is maybe there is a third possibility that the soul wants to stay where exactly it were.
Third possibility?
What's the third possibility?
I
what's the third possibility?
So to stay where it is. Then.
Well, that's also a choice. Yeah, the choice, since the soul originates in the spiritual world, he has a choice to stay where he is, or he has a choice to come to the material world. So there's still only two choices. All right, another question?
So when the cycle ends in this material world, the soul goes, and then it has a choice to come to material world again.
And the cycle, the one can eternally cycle in this material world if they don't choose to go back to Godhead.
Jautājums bija, vai tad, kad atgriežās dvēsele, beidzās šis cikls un atgriežās dvēsele atpakaļ garīgajā pasaulē, viņai pastāv iespēja atgriezties materiālajā pasaulē. Atbildi, ka, ja dvēsele izvēlas, viņi var mūžīgi palikt materiālajā pasaulē.
But if one chooses to go back to Godhead, they could fall again, but they won't.
Bet, ja dvēsele atgriežās atpakaļ pie Dieva, viņi var atgriezties atpakaļ materiālajā pasaulē, bet viņi to nevēlas.
There's a saying, once burned, twice shy.
Ir tāds teiciens, ka tas, kurš vienreiz ir apdedzinājies, ir divkārt uzmanīgs.
The little child has a free choice to either stick his hand in the fire or not stick his hand in the fire.
Mazam bērnam ir brīvi, viņam izvēle, vai nu bāzt roku ugunī vai nebāzt roku ugunī.
And he may exercise his free will by sticking his hand in the fire.
Un viņš var izmantot savu brīvo gribu, iebāžot roku ugunī.
Ask him to do it a second time and see if he will.
Un pajautājiet, lai viņš izdara to otro reizi un pastīsimies, vai viņš to vēlēsies.
So the living entity may fall down once.
Dzīvā būtne var krist vienreiz.
And he won't make the same mistake twice.
Bet viņa nedarīs to otrreiz.
Next question. Yes.
Mans jautājums ir, kādēļ Krišna ir zilāda?
My question is why Krishna has blackish skin.
Yes, Krishna is all powerful. He can do whatever he wants.
Krishna ir visu varens, un viņš var darīt kas vien viņam ienāk prātā.
When you go shopping for a shirt, why do you pick a particular color?
Tad, kad jūs ejat iepirkties, ka, teiksim, kāpēc jūs izvēlaties noteiktu krāsu? Because I like that color.
Yes. So Krishna, he thinks that blackish bluish color is really cool, and so does Radharani, by the way. So Krishna goes with that color. Next question. I recognize the one in Richard back then, and then Talis is next.
Бывает так, что во время киртана преданные забывают, для чего это делают, то есть для кого поют и танцуют, и сами наслаждаются. Вот как с этим бороться, чтобы
Kirtan laikā, dziedāšanas liekšanas laikā, Bhaktis bieži vien tā aizraujas, ka aizmirst, ka viņi to dara par prieku Krišnam, un viņi sāk darīt to par prieku sev paši baudīt. Kā to vienmēr atcerēties, kam par prieku tu to dari?
Quite often, devotees during Kirtan, they forget that they are doing it for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, and they start enjoying dancing and singing themselves. The question is how to always remember that we are doing it for Krishna and not start enjoying it themselves. Mm.
That's a very important question.
Tas ir ļoti svarīgs jautājums.
Because actually we are doing it for Krishna's pleasure.
Tāpēc, ka mēs patiešām to darām Krishna par prieku.
That's why the deity worship is very important.
Un tāpēc kalpošana dievībām ir tik svarīga.
That's why doing kirtan in the temple room is very good, because then you can see we're doing it for the deities.
Tāpēc kirtan šeit altāra zālē ir ļoti svarīga, jo tad mēs redzam, ka mēs to darām par prieku dievībām.
It's a fact devotees sometimes really get carried away.
Jā, tā ir taisnība, ka dažkārt baktas aizraujās pilnībā.
It happened one time in Chicago.
Un tas notika vienreiz Chicago.
There was a huge, all these brahmacharis there, they were dancing like crazy.
Un brahmacari, daudz brahmacari, tā kā traki dejoja.
Mahabhuti was doing the twist, you know.
Mahabhuti twist dejoja.
And Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. And he had to demonstrate how to do the Swami step, you know. So you don't want to, I mean, it's okay to be jubilant, but don't be good, you know, there's a point where you can go too far, you know.
You
should always remember we're dancing for the pleasure of Krishna.
Vienmēr atcerieties, ka mēs dejojam par prieku Krišnam.
Next question.
Nākamais
jautājums. Jā, Trālis. Trālis, jā.
Man ir jautājums, kāpēdienas man tiek tā, ka tik daudz jautājums par to, kā kontrolēt dusmas. Un bija šis piemērs, ar šī pārpārtu, ko viņš satēris vēl krāklādot. Es nesaprašu piemēru, bet viņi mēs izskaidrot.
Yesterday you mentioned, yesterday when the issue about anger was discussed, you gave the example when Srila Prabhupada
grabbed the shirt,
but I didn't get the point of that example. And could you?
Prabhupada showed great anger.
Prabhupada bija ļoti dusmīgs.
But he never lost his temper.
Bet viņš nekād savaldību nezaudēja.
He was in completely control of his senses. He was using that anger to make a point.
Viņš izmantoja savas dusmas, lai norādītu.
The point is, a devotee can use anger in Krishna's service, but he doesn't become used by anger.
Bhakti var izmantot dusmas, bet viņš nedrīkst pieļaut, ka dusmas sāk izmantot viņu.
Happened to me one time too. I was out passing out some sweets on the street by the university campus in Gainesville, Florida.
Reizes Gainesville, Florida izdalīju saldumus.
I had a had a big bowl of Simply Wonderfuls. I was passing them out to everyone.
Un es izdalīju šos te tādas bumbiņas, vienkārši brīnišķīgās bumbiņas izdalīju.
So, some smart aleck hippie, he thought he'd have a little fun.
Un tur kādi hippie nolēja uzjautrināties.
He went, ka-wham! And he hit the bowl and all the sweets went out in the street.
Un viņi uzsita ar bumbu un visas tās, pa to bundulu un visas saldumi izbira uz ielas.
So I decided to use, I realized this is a time when I should use anger for Krishna. So I pointed it right in the face like this and I yelled at him as loud as I could. I don't dare imitate it now because it'll hurt my ears. But I looked him right in the face like I was really, I was like on the verge of killing him. I mean, that's how heavy I said, you better get out there and pick up those sweets right now.
Man bija tāda izteiksme, ka es būtu gatavs viņu nogalināt, un es viņam teicu, tu labāk.
Like, buddy, if you don't get out there, I'm going to rip you apart. I mean, that's how heavy I got with him. And it worked. He snapped out of it, and he ran out in the street, and he picked up all the sweets. So that way, I used anger. I didn't hit him. But I acted as if I was going to kill him, and I gave him this heavy, heavy, we call it a whammy, you know. I threw this heavy whammy on him, you know, and it worked. It was very effective. It helped to snap him out of his, his little smart aleck trip. You know what I mean?
Un tātad tā mana attieksme palīdzēja izsist viņu no šo tā viņa noskaņojuma, ka viņš tātad kaut ko paļaukosies kaut ko.
So controlled anger can be a very good teaching tool sometimes when it's needed.
Un kontrolētas dusmas ir ļoti labs instruments, kā pārmācīt kādu, tas ir nepieciešams.
Any other questions? Yeah.
How you will explain that I think every person has this when you remember, when you know that you was in the room, all the colors, and you know that was before, it was before. It's like a déjà vu.
Yeah.
Déjà
vu, okay. Remembering being in a room and remembering you were there before. Okay, what about that?
What is that?
That's because you have been, it's because you've existed for all of eternity. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 12, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these came. So within your subconscious, you have an unlimited storehouse of memories, of experiences.
Jūsu zemapziņā ir neierobežots skaits dažādu atmiņu.
So déjà vu can mean you're getting a little connection with something that happened previously in a previous lifetime.
Déjà vu nozīmē, ka notiek kāda saskarsme neliela ar to, kas ir noticis arī jums agrāk.
But then we live in a parallels, no? Like because
kind of world?
For example, I had a I remember it was before, and I remember it was before and before. So three déjà vu. So if I talk.
Yeah, why not? Why three? Why not 3 million?
Yeah.
So you can have 3 million déjà vus. We've existed eternally. Not just one or two lifetimes. We've had millions of births before you had this one.
Yeah. So I had this discussion with you already before.
In millions of lifetimes we could have had this discussion before. When are you going to get the point and become Krishna conscious?
Mums ir notikuši miljoniem sarunu sagrāk par šo tēmu, bet tad jūs saprast, ka jums ir jāpieņem Krišnas apziņa, lai saprast, kas notiek.
Okay, any other questions? Back there.
Jūs teicāt, ka būtu kaut kā progress Krišnas apziņā, un vairāk jābēdēs, ka mums ir faktis. Bet ko darīt tam?
You said that to develop one's Krishna consciousness, one should associate with those who are devotees. So, but what to do if because of this association, association with devotees, association with friends that are non-devotees suffer?
Because make your non-devotee friends into devotees then.
Padariet savus draugus, kas nav bhaktas, to par bhaktā.
Just keep feeding them prasādam, they'll become devotees gradually.
Viņiem turpiniet viņiem dot prasādam un pakāpeniski viņi kļūs par bhaktā.
Prasādam is very powerful.
Prasādam ir ļoti spēcīgs.
Keep giving them prasādam again and again, and gradually they'll become devotees.
Dodiet viņiem prasādam atkal un atkal un atkal un pakāpeniski viņi kļūs par bhaktā.
Don't give up your old friends. Make your old friends into devotees.
Neatstājiet savus vecos draugus. Padariet savus vecos draugus par bhaktā.
Next question. Okay, Richard.
Как найти эту золотую середину, вот по какому проценту соотношения, чтобы, особенно если член семьи
no vienas puses ir teicis, ka pilnībā ir jākalpo Krišnam, bet ja cilvēkam ir ģimene, tad viņam jākalpo arī savai ģimenei. Un kā pareizi to sabalansēt īpaši gadījumos, ja dzīves draugs nav Krišnas apziņā, un ja tu pievērsies Krišnas apziņai, tad bojājās šīs attiecības. Kā tās sabalansēt?
On the one hand, one should fully devote oneself to the service of Krishna. On the other hand, if one has family, then one should serve one's family as well.
And how engage your family in the service of Krishna. And then everything becomes connected with Krishna. Your family, life, everything.
And this was saistībā ar Krishna.
But then there was a part that if my spouse, let's say, is not a devotee, so, and then because of Krishna consciousness, these relationships might get worse. So then how to balance Krishna consciousness and relationship?
Well, you have to really become very pure.
Jums ir jākļūst ļoti tīra.
You have to become selfless.
Jums ir jākļūst nesaldīgam.
And that can have a, if you become really pure and selfless in your dealings with your spouse, that can actually have a very powerful impact on your spouse to actually gradually come to Krishna consciousness.
Un ja jūs būsiet tīrs, attīrīsieties, un ja jūs būsiet nesaldīgs, tad šāda attieksme attiecībās ar savu dzīves draugu atstās ļoti lielu iespaidu uz šo otru cilvēku, un pakāpeniski jums būs iespēja viņu pievērst Krišnas apziņai.
In our temple we had three grahastha couples. They came and joined our community.
Mūsu templī bija trīs grahastha ģimenes, kas pievienojās mūsu.
Actually, it was four grahastha couples. Yeah.
Principā bija četras grahastha ģimenes.
And one of the everybody was into it. All seven. There was one of the ladies who was not into it. She was really against it, but she got dragged along.
Un tur viena kundze bija tāda, kas bija no tiem astoņiem cilvēkiem, viena bija tāda, kas bija pret Krišnas apziņu, bet nu, viņa bija ievilkta tajā visā līdzi.
She was so negative, they used to call her Wanda the Witch.
Viņa bija tik negatīva, viņa sauc, her name was Wanda, ja?
Her name was Wanda, but they called her Wanda the Witch.
Un viņa bija tik, viņa sauc Wanda, bet viņa sauc Wanda Ragana.
But actually, in due course of time, she became the most Krishna conscious. She became initiated disciple and became the most wonderful, ideal devotee you could ever imagine. Her spouse was thinking, well, I got this wife, I just want to be a devotee, but now she's more Krishna conscious than he is.
Un tad, kad viņas vīrs apņēma viņu par sievu, tad viņš domāja, kā lai es padaru viņu par baktu, bet tagad viņa ir vairāk Krišnas apziņā nekā vīrs.
So be patient, be determined, be kind-hearted.
Esiet pacietīgs, esiet laipns un esiet mērķiecīgs.
Again, use that magic weapon, prasādam, prasādam, prasādam.
Izmantoju šo maģisko ieroci, prasādam, prasādam, prasādam.
And you never know what Krishna can do. Amazing miracles can happen.
Jūs nevarat iedomāties, kādus tikam brīnumus, ka tikai Krišna nespēja darīt.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Kas atrast tādu faktu, ka cilvēks uz planētas paliek vairāk un vairāk, vai tas nozīmē vairāk krituši dvēseli, un kaut kāda degradācija ar augšu arī nodeļ?
How to understand the fact that there are more and more humans on this planet? Does it mean that more and more fallen souls arrive on this planet, that there are some degradation on the spiritual world?
It could be, or it could be more living entities coming up from the animal kingdom.
Varētu būt arī tā, ka no dzīvnieku valsts arī vairāk dzīvās būtnes atnāk šeit.
And the plant kingdom.
Un augu valsts.
And the insect kingdom.
Kukaiņu valsts.
And the germ kingdom.
Un no tāku valsts.
Tikai
no zemes
zemākām planētām pieradās.
Question you had back then.
Apziņa ir tik brīnišķīga lieta, tad kāpēc Bhaktas pārstāja apmeklēt templi un pārstāja kalpot dievībām?
If Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, then why devotees stop attending the temple and rendering service to the deities?
If someone comes to Krishna consciousness and then they give it up, it means they never learn how to properly practice Krishna
consciousness.
Because anybody who actually properly engages in Krishna consciousness, parandrishani varat, they will get hired to.
Tāpēc, ka ja cilvēks patiešām pareizi iesaist sev Krishna apziņā, viņš saņem augstāku garšu.
And once somebody gets a higher taste, they will never go back to the lower taste. That devotees never got a higher taste. Because they never learn how to properly practice Krishna consciousness. That's why we have seminars on pure devotional service. To help devotees understand, they have to follow the guidelines given in the Nectar Devotion. You cannot concoct your own new version of Krishna consciousness. We have to follow the system coming down from Rupa Goswami. Anybody who does that, they will never give it up.
Un tas, kurš to dara, tas nekad neatstāja Krišnas apziņu.
There's a question over here.
7 o'clock.
Huh? Yeah, this is the last question. We got 60 seconds here.
Pēdējais jautājums.
Некоторые личности приходят в храм и думают, что они становятся святыми из-за того, что они пришли в храм. По мнению Махараджа, вообще как относиться к этому явлению? И по каким качествам распознавать святых людей? И есть ли в наше время вообще святые люди?
Daudz cilvēku, kas atnākuši uz templi, uzskata, ka viņi kļūst svēti tikai tāpēc, ka viņi ir atnākuši uz templi. Jautājums ir, pēc kādām īpašībām atšķirt svētus cilvēkus, vai vispār mūsdienās ir svēti cilvēki? Some people believe that only by attending the temple they become saints. My question is, how to distinguish, what qualities we should see to distinguish saintly persons, and if there are any saintly persons at all nowadays? Are there any saintly persons?
Mm. Yes, I'm traveling all over the world. In our Krishna Consciousness Society, I see there are so many saintly persons in our movement.
Es ceļoju pa visu pasauli, un es redzu mūsu Krishna apziņas kustībā ļoti daudz svētu cilvēku.
So, do you want to become a saintly person?
Vai jūs vēlaties kļūt par svētu cilvēku?
Ah, yes or no?
It's difficult to say because, in my opinion, a saintly person is a person who doesn't want to see himself as a saintly person.
So that's all right.
Хорошо.
That doesn't mean he doesn't want to become saintly.
Bet tas nenozīmē, ka šim cilvēkam nav vēlme.
Saintly person means a person who is pure in heart and is pleasing to Krishna.
Svēts cilvēks nozīmē tas, kuram ir tīra sirds un kurš spēj iepriecināt Krishna.
So you want to become pure in heart and pleasing to Krishna?
Vai jūs vēlaties attīrīt savu sirdi un iespēt iepriecināt Krishna?
So there are many devotees in our movement. I am seeing them by my traveling and preaching all over the world. There are many devotees in our temples who are very pure and saintly, and they're pleasing Krishna. So you need, the more you can associate with such devotees, you will become more purified and more pleasing to Krishna.
Un es ceru, ka pasauli apkārt es redzu ļoti daudz bhaktis, kas ir tīri savā sirdī un kas iepriecina Krišnu. Un jūs vēlaties kļūt par šādu te cilvēku, tad jums ir pēc iespējas vairāk jāpiedrojās. Jāmeklē šādu cilvēku jāpiedrojās ar tiem.
It is sometimes said, man is a social animal.
Ir dažkārt saka, ka cilvēks ir sociāls dzīvnieks.
It is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One develops one's consciousness according to the company that one keeps.
Ir teikts, ka cilvēks izveidos savu apziņu saskaņā ar to, ar ko viņš piedrojās.
So we want to develop the Krishna conscious qualities.
Ja mēs vēlamies, lai mums būtu Krishna apziņas īpašības,
we desperately need the association of Krishna conscious persons.
Mums ir ārkārtīgi nepieciešams piedroties ar cilvēkiem, kam ir Krishna apziņa.
We are not so strong we can independently cultivate Krishna consciousness.
Mēs neesam tik stipri, lai mēs varētu neatkarīgi attīstīt Krishna apziņu.
If there is one stick alone, you can easily break it.
Ja ir viens zariņš, jūs to viegli varat pārlaust.
But if there's a big bundle of sticks, you cannot break.
Bet ja ir žagaru saišas, jūs nevarat to salauzt.
So, you should always remain bundled up with the devotees as much as possible.
Un tāpēc tas nozīmē, ka jums ir jābūt vienmēr baktus sabiedrībā, cik vien tas ir iespējams.
That will make you strong.
Un tas padarīs jūs stipru.
I'm traveling all over the world, but I'm always staying with the devotees.
Es ceļoju pa visu pasauli, bet es vienmēr atrodos baktus sabiedrībā.
I'm with devotees all the time.
Ar baktām visu laiku.
I love it, it's great.
Man tas patīk, tas ir brīnišķīgi.
Devotees are my life.
Bhaktas ir mana dzīve.
My life is to serve the devotees.
Un mana dzīve ir kalpot bhaktām.
So that's how you become strong.
Un tas ir, kā jūs kļūstat stiprs.
So stay with devotees as much as possible.
Biedroties ar bhaktām, cik vien iespējams.
The temple is that place where the devotees get together to associate.
Un templis ir tā vieta, kur bhaktām pulcēties un biedroties.
Therefore, the temple is a very special place.
Un tāpēc templis ir īpaša vieta.
So our time has run out.
Un tā mūsu laiks ir beidzies.
And we look forward, we'll be coming back, we're actually, after Gaurapurnima, we'll be going to Vrindavan, and right, straight from Vrindavan, we're coming to Riga next spring. We're coming from Gokula, Vrindavan, to Riga, Vrindavan. So we never like to leave Vrindavan. We come to Riga Vrindavan. So we're eagerly waiting our return. Some of you now have expressed the desire to become disciples, so please become very fixed in that determination, not to lose your enthusiasm in our physical absence.
Un tie, kas ir nolēmuši nākotnē kļūt par maniem skolniekiem, esiet ļoti apņēmīgi un nezaudējiet entuziasmu.
Kindly remember, the spiritual master's most powerful presence is his instructions, not his physical form.
Un kultivējiet šo apziņu, ka visvarenākā garīgā skolotāja forma ir viņa norādījumos, nevis viņa.
So always keep company with the instructions of the spiritual master.
Un vienmēr esiet kopā ar garīgā skolotāja norādījumiem.
And then there will never be any separation.
Un tad jūs nekad nejūtīsieties šķirti no viņa.
So we thank you very much.
Paldies visiem.
Srimad Bhagavat, well, there's no verse tonight, but Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His grace, Srimad Sankarsan Dasa Dikar Maharaj ki jai.